30 this morning. My voice is so raspy, but I wanted to sing that song. It goes along with the message that God has given me this morning from Psalm 30. Begin reading with me in verse number 1. This is a psalm of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's the title of my message this morning. Joy cometh in the morning. I'm not sure as we read this what the occasion is in David's life. It appears that he had been sick, and pretty sick, as we read these words. Thou hast not made my foes rejoice over me. I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Verse 2. Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Evidently, he was very sick. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. That's not talking about him going to hell. It's talking about going to the grave, the place of departed souls, in the Old Testament, Sheol. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. With all that God has done, should we not be able to sing, God is so good to me? Now, I pastored here 40 years in July as the church, and 42 years since we started as a mission work, and I think I can sing with David, God is so good to me. I will extol thee, O Lord. It's only by the grace of God I've been able to continue here for this length of time. And I know I can't go on forever, but I'm thankful for every day he gives me. And I want to praise him, and I want to preach this message this morning for your benefit. I've sung my song. You heard it. I trust that you can at least agree with how good God has been to you. I think some of you can agree with David's thoughts when he said, I prayed and you healed me. We had a lot of sickness in the church. I've had 3 funerals in the last 6 weeks, I believe. So we know it's possible. We're exposed to it because we're human. And it's only by the design and will of God that we remain here. David knew that. But as he comes to verse number 5, he says, his anger endureth but a moment. Now, God had reason, of course, to be angry with David at times. The matter with Bathsheba and when he numbered Israel. But he also had a lot of occasions. And as you read the Psalms, you see this, how much he praised God and how many enemies he had and how many times he went through times of great sorrow. But he says in verse 5, in the last part, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I don't think he's talking about 12 hours and 12 hours. I think he's talking about as it relates to our life and the things that we have to go through. Sometimes it seems like we go through the night. We have to mourn. There are things that we don't like to deal with, but they're very real. There's times of mourning, and then, thank God, we have this assurance. Joy comes in the morning. As I prepared my message for Brother Kelly's funeral, I thought about Brother Kelly's joy. 33 years he pastored there in California, a difficult place to pastor in Southern California. Didn't have much joy out there. People rejected him, made fun of him, mocked him. But he came back to Kentucky, and then he went up down to Alabama, where they received him very well. But I thought what he's experiencing now. He had a lot of problems. He lost, as I said, 4 children. A lot of rejection when he was called to preach. They didn't want to hear it. But David often wrote about the morning. Do you ever, as you read the Psalms, if you just kind of look for this, you'll see it. He always referred to the morning and the morning and the morning. And I'll wake unto thee in the morning. Let's just look at a few verses, a few Psalms. Psalm 5, just turn back quickly to this, verses 1 through 3. This evidently, I don't know if he was a morning person or if he just related that to the things in his life. Psalm 5, verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. That's wisdom. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? That's a good hymn. David said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. That's a good attitude. That's a man that's spiritual. And we ought to want that if we're saved by the grace of God. But notice further in Psalm 59, verse 16. As I said, I just picked out 2 or 3 of them here. But I was struck by the fact that David made a lot of reference to the morning in his writings. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. One other, Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. And I did not get all that David said about the morning, but Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Isn't that where our triumph will be? Through the works of the hands of our Lord, through Jesus Christ. We'll triumph. It sounded like David might have been a morning person, but nonetheless, he wrote these things. I want to read one other verse back in Psalm 30. Let's read again, verse number 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Last part of his psalm. Joy comes in the morning. Now, if you're looking for joy to come every day, you're going to be sadly disappointed because that's not the way life is. We don't have joy continually. We have our problems. We have our tears. We have our periods when we have to suffer some things. But David said in verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. That's an encouragement. That's an admonishment. Sing unto the Lord. I can't complain. And all you've been through, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can't complain. We have no way to complain. And God's been so good to us. If he gave us what we deserved, you know where we'd be. But he hasn't. We're still here. God hates our singing that's just vain words. You know that by reading the scriptures, God wants our hearts. He wants to sing from our hearts, not just a bunch of words. And David is encouraging us this morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, is David familiar with what he's saying? I thought about this as I studied last night. Is he really qualified, as at least by experience, to say these things? I believe he is, because that's why he wrote them. I mean, he's not throwing out a bunch of words that he happened to think up, or he maybe looked them up in a dictionary, or he read after somebody else. This is something he experienced. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I thought about David's life, some of the things that he had to go through. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had been cut off from Israel, been driven out into the land of the Philistines, and was hiding in a town called Ziklag, and he left there with his men to go fight against Israel, and God spared him of that. God delivered him. He didn't have to. And he went back, and the city was burned to the ground. Everything they had was taken. His wives were carried away. The children and wives of his men were carried away. The Bible says they lifted up their voice and wept with bitter weeping. They lost their wives. They lost their families and all their material things. And David was weeping with him, but if you'll notice the sixth verse of 1 Samuel 30, it reads like this: David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He wept for a while. Then David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I believe David practiced what he wrote here. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, David took the right attitude. He didn't act like remember old King Ahab when he couldn't get that vineyard? The Bible says he went in and laid on his bed and turned his face to the wall and wept and cried and carried on. So old Jezebel come in and she said, I'll take care of your enemy. David didn't lie in his bed and cry. He encouraged himself. This is for you, beloved. He encouraged himself and the Lord is God. Joy comes in the morning. Why should I be down? Why aren't I cast down, O my soul? He wrote in Psalm 42. Yes, life is real. Problems are real. Pain is real. Tears are real. But beloved, we need to have the attitude that David had. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. If we're saved by the grace of God, we have great resources. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in spite of the bitterness, in spite of the anger, in spite of the tears, in spite of the problems. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's the attitude that a mature Christian should have. Now, if you're new in the faith, you're going to have to go through some weeping and some bitterness and some down times until you learn to respond like David did. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, David, back in Samuel, he went after those men who took everything they had, and you know the end of that story. He recovered everything he had. He recovered all the wives. He recovered all the children. He recovered all the material things that they had lost, and even more. Because David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he knew joy comes in the morning. It's not the end because we have trouble. And then we look in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17 through 24. Let's turn back to this one because this is a touching scene in the life of David, when you consider that Saul tried his best to kill him time after time after time. In 2 Samuel, the first chapter, we find the news comes that Saul and Jonathan and his sons have been killed in battle by the Philistines. In verse number 17, and David lamented with great lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. He loved Saul in spite of the fact he tried to kill him. How many times did he spare his life? He was not a man that would lay his hands on the Lord's anointed. And Saul was the Lord's anointed. And even after he was dead, he lamented over him. He bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Notice, if you would, let's go a little further to verse number 24. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights and put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Saul did some great things for Israel. And David says, rejoice over this man. Weep over this man. He's been taken out. But do you realize what was happening? What the end of this was going to be? David fled probably 12 to 13 years in the wilderness from Saul, fleeing for his own life. And now Saul's dead. Paul weeps for him, especially for Jonathan, who was his friend, closer than a brother, and his love was stronger than the love of a woman, he says. Jonathan and David were very close. And Jonathan is dead. But you know what came out of this? Immediately, David becomes king over Judah and eventually becomes king over all of Israel. Now, he'd been waiting for that. He was anointed as probably a 17-year-old boy by Samuel long before this. And all this time that he's running and he's hiding, sparing the life of Saul, refusing to touch him. And it was a sad time. It was a difficult time. And he learned something that I stressed in the Sunday school class this morning. You better learn, and I better learn. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. We don't know God's ways. He doesn't tell us everything he's going to do. And sometimes it may break our heart. And sometimes we may shed many tears, but wait upon the Lord. You see, David waited and waited and waited. He was 30 years old when he was finally crowned king of Judah. And waited 7 more years until he was crowned king of all Israel. But it came about as a result of the death of Saul and his sons. Weeping may come for the night, for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And there's so many similar situations in David's life. And the sin with Bathsheba, chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 11, chapter 12. Well, let's just look at one verse in chapter number 11. The Bible says in verse 27, of course, the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, and she mourned for her husband. That's the woman, Bathsheba, that David committed adultery with, and she mourned over him. But notice verse 27, when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son out of that relationship that they never should have had. Last part of verse number 27, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Do you think David was a saved man? Did he love God? How can we deny his love and all the things he's penned for us that we can read? But he was still a man, wasn't he? The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Think about that as it regards each of us. Though we're saved by the grace of God, and though he's promised never to leave us and never forsake us, sometimes we can do some things to displease the Lord. And the Bible tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. None of us are exempt from it. David sinned and displeased God. And chapter 12 tells us the result of that. I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to tell you roughly what went on. David lay on his face for 7 days and probably 7 nights while that baby still lived, begging God not to take his life. The baby becomes sick. Old Nathan went to him and told him a story, and then he said, "You're the man. You're the one. Well, you took another man's wife. You took that one little ewe lamb that he had." And David said, "A man that did that ought to die." And Nathan says, "Thou art the man." And then he later tells him, "You're not going to die. But oh, the misery that's going to come upon your house because of this thing that you've done that displeased the Lord." Think about that, folks. Tim read to us this morning, 1 John chapter 3, "Beloved, or behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What a great love. But it teaches us in the third verse that we're going to be like him. Then if we understand that, then we need to be pure even as he is pure. God doesn't give us a license to sin because he saved our miserable souls from hell. He loves us. That's why he saved us, and he still loves us. That's why he chastens us. We need to know that. We need to be aware that we can displease God even as a saved person. We don't know. I don't know all the things that happen in your life. You don't know a lot of the things that happen in my life. But do you ever reason that maybe it's because I've displeased God, and he's dealing with me like he did with David? And some of the heartaches and the things that come in my life are just a result of God's love for me because I displeased him. David was very, very grieved over losing that child. He mourned for about 7 days and nights. But in the 17th verse of this 12th chapter, the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with him. He fasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will we then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead?" We need to apply the scriptures, beloved. You know the scriptures. You know God from having read about him. You know how he loves his people. You know how he deals with us. But notice the next verse, when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead? And they said, "He's dead." And David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. What was his reaction to the chastening of God? His prayer, his grief, his tears, his fasting was not answered in the way that he hoped it would be. But how did he react? He worshiped God. He accepted it. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? What's the use of fasting now? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." It's one of the great scriptures that teach us that if a child dies before they come to the age of accountability, they're safe in the Lord. David said, "I can go to him, but he can't come to me." Yes, David was a man. And when he penned those words, "Mourning may pass for the night." Let me read it properly. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." What was the result? What did God do when David acted the way he did, when he got up and washed his face and show the people there's no use me weeping and fasting anymore. God gave him another son. You know what his name was? Solomon. Joy comes in the morning. David put great hope in Solomon. As a matter of fact, he told Bathsheba he'll be king when I die. David had a lot of sons, but he chose Solomon because God chose Solomon, and he knew it. Joy came out of that terrible situation that caused so much grief and weeping and fasting, but God sent joy in the morning. He gave him another son. Beloved, the scriptures will do us no good if we never apply them. Know that God, if he loves you, will deal with you if you displease him. That's a simple lesson. Understand that. David's sons, the oldest one, Amnon, defiled his own half-sister, a beautiful woman named Tamar. She was the sister of Absalom, another of David's sons. Absalom killed Amnon. Wouldn't that be hard to live with as a parent, would it not? To see first your daughter defiled and then one of your sons kill another of your sons? David had a lot of grief. He had a lot to weep over. And you know who he wept over more than any of his sons? It was Absalom, though he had killed his oldest son, Amnon. Absalom rebelled against David and tried to take the kingdom away from him. And I'll take time to read this, but I think most of you are aware of it. Absalom had this long, beautiful hair that he was so proud of. He wouldn't cut it. And he rode under the tree, oak tree, and the lambs caught his hair in that oak tree and pulled him off his beast, and he was left hanging there. And Joab killed him. In spite of what David said, spare that young man, spare my son. Joab killed him anyway because he was leading a rebellion against David. And you can read in the scriptures how much it grieved David when he went up the steps having found out that Absalom was dead. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I died for thee. It's hard to give up a child, even though they may not be perfect. This man led a rebellion against David, and his kingdom would have taken it had it not been for God's intervention. David was driven out of Jerusalem. You can read about that in the 15th chapter of Samuel. The shame, a man throwing rocks at him and spitting at him, mocking him. But he was driven out by his own son. But in the end, I can't even begin to imagine how David must have felt, having been given that kingdom after all those years of waiting, and then his own son rises up in rebellion and tries to take it away from him and drives him out of Jerusalem because of his sin with Bathsheba and because he killed Uriah the Hittite, her husband. So, beloved, life is real. Problems are real. I know most of us have been spoiled in many ways, but we've all had our problems. I've not had the problems that David had. I didn't have the problems that Job had, and I thank God for that. But we've all had our problems. But I preach this message to you, beloved, because we need to understand this great truth. Weeping may last for the night or for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We're not living for this world. We're not living for this time. We're living for the joy that's coming in the morning when we see the Lord. That's what Tim read this morning. 1 John 3. We know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, I tried to, as I was studying last night for the funeral tomorrow, I tried to draw back on the scriptures and really, what kind of understanding do we have of what happens? And I preached on this a few weeks ago. There's a scene in Luke chapter 16 that deals with two men, Lazarus the beggar and the rich man. And the Lord just kind of swung the doors of death open to let us see two men. But beloved, there are multitudes of people on this earth. And we know very little. We know very little about what happens in this day when our loved ones die. Thank God for 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We know that, but what does that mean, present with the Lord? We've not seen a lot of it. There's not much in the scripture about it. We have Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how he had a vision. He saw a man. He said, I don't know if it's in the body or out of the body, but he tells us about some things. He heard some wonderful things that it's not even legitimate for us to even mention the words. So we have some vision, but not much. But this we do know. To leave this life, for example, like Brother Kelly, having had I don't know how many major heart surgeries, how many stents, how many strokes, how many things he went through. And now in the last 2 weeks of his life, he wasn't able to pastor at all. Before that, he was walking up to the pulpit on a walker. Someone sent a note on Facebook, and I noticed it. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He was 80 years old, been preaching for many years, 33 years in California, 4 years there in Alabama. I think he said in the obituary, 45 years pastoring. And then a man has enough strength and courage and boldness and trust in the Lord to get on a walker and walk up to a pulpit so weak that he can't hardly breathe and preach the word of God because he loves the Lord, he loves the church. Joy comes in the morning. It's not here. He didn't have much joy here. Lost 4 children. One of the reasons he left California. His son, 52 years old, dies suddenly. They still don't know what took him. Some suspicion about that. But nonetheless, what's he experiencing now? If God will help us to get our eyes off of this life and off of ourselves and do what the Bible encourages us so many times, watch. Tim read that passage this morning in Matthew 24. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Be ready. And as he said in his devotion, we just really live our lives in the way that the Bible encourages us to, that if the Lord came right now, we'd be watching. We wouldn't be doing something we'd be ashamed of. We'd be here in God's house watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. Jesus Christ himself warned his disciples. Let's read in John 16. I got to bring the message to a close. John the 16th chapter, verse number 20. This is the last night he was with them on earth. John 16, 20. Verily, verily, which is amen, amen, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Talking about his death. And ye shall be sorrowful. Ye shall be sorrowful. And they were. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And it was. And on the day of Pentecost, you see the result. When they were all together, the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled the whole house where they were. And they began the great work of scattering the gospel over the world, still going today. Their sorrow was turned to joy. I think that's a good message for us. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Watch a mother with a baby that's newborn. It's the see the joy. Yes, it was a terrible time. She goes into the valley of death to deliver that baby. But she'd do it again. Because she can hold that little one and know that through her body, God provided this life. And she fulfilled what God really ordained for her, that was to bring children into the world. And she rejoices in that. Christ, like David, experienced what David experienced. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9, the Bible tells us that he wept with bitter tears unto him that was able to deliver him from death. And he was heard, in that he was a son. He was heard. God heard him. But he didn't send angels to pull out the nails. He didn't deliver him from Calvary. But what's the end of his tears? Where is he now? Where was he after the 50 days when he ascended up there, 40 days when he ascended up to heaven? Where did he go? He sat down on the right hand of the Father. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, the grief. We can't begin to explain and understand the tears that Jesus Christ wept when he was experiencing God's wrath for our sins. But he did it because of the joy. And that's what Hebrews 12 tells us. And I'll read this and we'll quit. 12th chapter of Hebrews reads like this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, like David, knew what he was talking about when he said, your sorrow will be turned into joy. His sorrow was turned into joy. Please, I preach, beloved, to people. And I preach to you because I love you. And I love the Lord, and I love the truth. And I want you to experience what is in the Word of God for you to experience. I want you to make it real in your life. Don't just go through life in a daze as far as spiritual things are concerned. All involved in the world, so much wrapped up in the world, and you overlook the most precious thing that you have. You have the truth of what this life is all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. God, help us to understand that. Look for him. We sing that song sometimes, me and Tim and my wife. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. That's what it's about. Hold on. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Hold on. Hold fast. Joy comes in the morning. And we've not seen the morning yet. I think Brother Kelly has, in a sense. May God help us to listen to the Word of God and to appropriate it to ourselves, to let it affect our lives, the problems that we have and the joys that we have, and bring glory to God. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. May you make it effective in the lives of all who hear in one way or the other, according to your divine purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.